Today on Discover the Word, we're going to talk about one of your favorites. Everyone has favorites. You have a favorite color. I'm sure you have a favorite song, both an all-time favorite song and a favorite song right now. You probably have a favorite TV show, a favorite radio program, and I hope it's Discover the Word, a favorite childhood memory. On your computer, your web browser more than likely has a way of keeping track of your favorite websites. It maybe even calls them your favorites. Well, in just a moment, our lead teacher, Haddon Robinson, is going to ask you to name your favorite something. Find out what he's after as we get today's conversation on Discover the Word underway. Hi, I'm Brian Hettinger here with you on this Wednesday. It's great to have you back at the table in the middle of another week for the small group Bible study from RBC Ministries in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Discover the Word. The three friends you study with each day at this time are set for an important conversation in our study of the Old Testament book of Ruth. And so straight across the table from you, that's Haddon Robinson. As I mentioned, he often leads in these conversations. He's an author and preacher and professor of preaching at Gordon-Conwell Seminary in the Boston area. Then to your right, that is Alice Matthews. Alice is an author and educator and conference speaker who's been involved in a wide range of ministry over the years. And then on your left, that is RBC Ministries President Mark DeHaan. And in addition to his work with this group, he writes for a number of our publications, including the Our Daily Bread devotional guide. And he also hosts our weekend Day of Discovery television programs. And so that's the group. And since this is Discover the Word, it makes sense that Haddon would ask this to begin.
Do either of you have a favorite word?
Favorite word?
Yeah.
No.
You don't have a favorite word. No. How about you, Alice?
No. I'm trying to think. We have thousands of words that we use. How could I choose one and say, that's my favorite word?
Okay. All right. I'll choose one. Grace.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
I would agree. For me, that's my favorite word.
Okay.
But there are other words, like home has about it a warmth.
Okay.
Friend. Is another word.
You're making me feel terrible because I agree with you.
You agree with me? What?
I said, how can you choose one word? But these are all good words. Grace, yes. Yeah. Home, yes. Friend, yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of words that go beyond the word. They create feelings in you. And I think the Bible has a favorite word, at least in the Old Testament. Grace would be one that you get in the New Testament particularly. But the one in the Old Testament that's a favorite word is the word hesed, H-E-S-E-D, if you translate it into English. It's a special characteristic of God, and it's a characteristic of people who are faithful to God. Hesed. Difficult word to translate.
You said faithful, right?
That's part of it.
It's very often translated loving kindness
or mercy.
Mercy, loyal love.
Loyal love. Mm-hmm. It's a key concept of the Old Testament. In the Psalms, for example, in Psalm 136, it says, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords for his mercy to us forever. There are 26 verses in Psalm 136 that say over and over again, give thanks to the Lord. And the word it's translated kindness or mercy is the word hesed. Give thanks to God for his hesed.
And what's interesting is that different translations come at it in very different ways. So one translator would translate it mercy. But if you pick up another Bible, you might find it translated loving kindness. And if you pick up another Bible, it's translated loyal love. That's why I was curious about this word, because it just seems to have so many different
ideas.
It's
so hard to capture. There's no single English word that captures all of the varieties in the Hebrew word hesed. The idea of kindness, of mercy, of loyalty, of loyal love. Not just love, but love that stays with you. God has a loyal love for his people. Sometimes our love is warm, and then other times it cools. His is a loyal love.
Okay, so when it is used in the Old Testament, does every usage involve all of those different dimensions, or depending on how it's used, does one come to the fore?
I think in certain situations, one part of that word comes to the fore, just like our word grace. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful word, and God's grace to us is shown in the death of Jesus Christ. But then Paul writes, grace to you and peace. And there, it means grace, but it's got a wider meaning.
Yeah, and when he talks about God's grace working in us, that almost has the feeling of enablement.
Yeah.
The sense
and
of,
then when it talks about gifts, it's, yeah. It talks about this grace is given to us. Mm-hmm. It's a mm-hmm. giving. It's a bestowing of something good to us. But again, that's a tough word to translate consistently because it has a lot of different nuances. But hesed is the most treasured characteristic of God in the Bible. And if you're listening here and sitting in our chair, it's a word I wish you'd learn to use and think about because I think it has profound significance for us.
But you don't want to say hesed.
No. If you know it, if you've included.
People will think we're nuts.
But look at it in the book of Ruth, because it's a key concept in Ruth. It's something that God does for his people, something his people do for one another. Alice, look at the first chapter of Ruth, and say begin at verse 14 and go through verse 18.
In verse 14.
Well, first of all, what's happened?
Naomi and her two daughters-in-law have been, all of them, widowed. And so Naomi has decided to go back to Bethlehem, and she is urging her daughters-in-law to go back to their families, hoping that their fathers will arrange new marriages for them. So they've been going back and forth about going with her or going back home. And then in verse 14, then the two daughters-in-law lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And Naomi said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. And when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her.
In this book, that's an example of hesed. When Orpah went back home, the sister-in-law went back home, did she do something wrong?
No.
It wasn't sinful. In fact, she was doing what Naomi told her to do, go back. So what Ruth does in this passage that you read goes beyond just loyalty. Orpah broke down and wept at the thought of having to leave them and go back home. So it wasn't that she was calloused and indifferent, but Ruth's love went beyond that. So this famous passage where Ruth says, you know, entreat me not to leave you or to go back from following you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Compared to Orpah, what is that? How would you compare that declaration with what her sister-in-law did?
She isn't merely deciding to go with Naomi just to help an old woman. She is taking on a whole new existence, saying, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. This is a commitment. This is a covenant that she is making. This is a vastly greater import than just simply going with Naomi in order to make sure that the old woman gets there safely.
Yes, it's good insight. It's more than that. It's love, but it's loyal love. When she says, I will love you until death, and even after death, I'll be buried, we'll be buried. And that's a characteristic we see in Ruth that is a characteristic that we see in God. What would you make of that when you say that God's loyal love, his hesed, endures forever? What is the psalmist saying when he says that?
That's one of those times when the idea leaves me speechless. It just overwhelms me that God would love the likes of me with that kind of enduring love, a love that lasts forever and doesn't just wipe his hands and walk off when I do something that is displeasing to God. It's just a staggering thought. It's almost more than I think we human beings can grasp.
The other way it's put in the New Testament, quoting the Old Testament, I will never leave you or forsake you. And God says that to us. And I think our tendency is to believe that he will leave us, will forsake us. I mean, if he knew me and knows me like I know me, he's going to say, look, I gave him a chance, he didn't take it.
Especially during those times when we're aware of our wrongs and our failures and when we don't sense the presence or the kindness of God. It can feel like he has abandoned us.
We can feel that. And yet the writer of Hebrews says, but nevertheless, he has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Whether you feel like it or not, he hasn't changed. Whatever you have done, he has not abandoned you. His loyal love endures forever. His chesed is at the foundation of his character. So God does not love us because of what we are. He loves us in spite of what we are, because God's loyal love endures forever and ever, and it doesn't change.
All right, a faith-building promise attached to that word chesed. To end the conversation section of our time together today, Haddon Robinson, Alice Matthews, and Mark DeHaan are in the Old Testament book of Ruth with our Discover the Word Bible study. And as Alice said, this concept of the loving kindness of God, his loyal love, is pretty overwhelming. It's one of the key words in the Bible, and the book of Ruth helps us to grasp its significance. To learn more about this passage or to hear a dramatic reading of the book of Ruth, go online to discovertheword.org. And then while you're there, look for a link to some other resources on the book of Ruth, such as Dr. Joe Stoll has put together some studies in the passage, and they're available at no cost. Click on the link to those additional resources from our ministry partner, Dr. Joe Stoll, at discovertheword.org. That's discovertheword.org. Well, I'm Brian Huttinga for Haddon and Alice and Mart. They plan to open the Bible together again tomorrow on Thursday for a conversation on chesed and why translators have such a difficult time with that word. We'll see you tomorrow, right back here on Discover the Word. Discover the Word is provided by RBC Ministries, the publishers of Our Daily Bread.